Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Mike Costantino himself.
That's right. Barely in the door.
Barely in the door. Overslept today. We want to talk about the fiscal cliff again today. We want to focus on some of the information that we didn't talk about last time.
We're going to talk about numbers, and we also want to talk about language. You know, and that's what the Republicans certainly want to spin this a certain way. And we Democrats want to spin it another way. And of course, we have a perspective here.
Yeah. And here's a description. One of the problems, folks, and you sound partisan the minute you say it, but we had what? Orenstein and what's the other fellow's name, Mike?
Yeah. Joel Orenstein. I don't know.
Yeah. One's a Democrat. One's a Republican.
That's right.
They came out with a new book saying that really it's the Republicans' fault. And they describe the Republican Party, and this is the environment that you have to make changes in, as ideologically extreme, scornful of compromise, unmoved by conventional understanding of facts, evidence, and science, and dismissive of the legitimacy of the political opposition.
Yeah.
The mainstream press really has a difficult time trying to cope with this asymmetry between the two parties' agendas and the connection between facts and truth. In other words, you know, you have MSNBC that provides a Democratic perspective the way we do, and you have Fox News that provides a Republican.
I don't believe that. I believe MSNBC provides a reasonable perspective, but we could talk about that
right
on another show.
Well, the truthfulness and perspective are two different things. I mean, you can make up a perspective entirely of misinformation, distortions, lies, special interest, hiding behind the curtain, and all that, or you can make up a perspective by organizing the information according to certain values. And in this discussion of cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare,
right,
cutting Medicaid, it is never coming from the Democrats.
Exactly.
The Democrat, it never is our proposal.
And one of the main reasons for that is it makes absolutely no economic sense to cut a supply of money in a down cycle. In other words, to cut Social Security, you'd be all that money that's flowing into the economy, and to cut that would be crazy.
See, the money that goes to unemployment, that goes to Social Security, and it goes to Medicaid, Medicare funding, it goes pretty much directly and is spent directly. But I'll say in Democrats, and you know, and I know that Mike and I are I guess you'd call us part of the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, and we are not entirely happy with the compromises that, for example, the president is willing to do. But we never start from the position of cutting your benefits, your Social Security benefits. We never start that way.
Well, these
the
are
Democratic Party, for all its faults, has for decades after decades stood for providing benefits to ordinary Americans, providing social and economic security. We've been willing to compromise, and you can object to some of the compromises of the establishment Democrats,
for sure,
but we've never started there. And the Republicans always start from cutting your benefits. They're going to cut your parents' Social Security, your grandparents', your Social Security. That's where they start from.
And what makes our
then we negotiate, except that they're ideologically extreme, which makes it tough.
And that's what makes our head explode, is that it's not even a reasonable position. And we see people like Peter Peterson spending nearly $500 million.
Well, why are we talking about budget deficit instead of increasing jobs?
Well, that's
and
right.
Economic development.
I
think you've got the answer one right there.
Well, but I want to mention the language game that you hear John Boehner only say deficit crisis. Whenever he refers, he gets on and says, well, we haven't made any progress on the deficit crisis. And you hear the Democrats and the Obama administration talk about fiscal cliff, talk about tax cuts and revenue.
Because it's a combination of increasing revenue and cutting expenses.
But they're,
and the fight is about how to balance that. And we're looking at a context where for decades now, the wages of ordinary Americans have stagnated. And the amount of money held by a smaller and smaller the percentage of the people has been growing. This is just economic facts. What you want to do about it, you may think it's great. I mean, you know, the Republicans will tell you all their job creators are creating all these jobs. Just give the rich all the money in the country and everything would be solved. But that's not quite it. So tell me about Peter Peterson, because Peter people Peterson. Probably haven't heard of.
Well, this
Peter
is
Peterson.
This is a HuffPost article, and this is they claim that a bipartisan the discussion that we're having is framed once again. The Democrats have let, as far as I'm concerned, somebody extreme frame the discussion. He spent lavishly to shape the national conversation, focusing on the deficit rather than jobs and economic growth.
Now, he's giving money to both parties.
He's giving money to both parties.
He's not a far righter. He's a deficit.
This is the former chair of Lehman Brothers. This is a former Commerce Secretary from under Nixon. This guy's been around a while.
So we've got a billionaire spending $500 million to try to cut your Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid benefits.
Yeah, it's
I'm sure he's a nice person, you know.
He recently organized a national tour through America Speaks, which is funded almost wholly by the Peter G. Peterson Foundation. And he actually met audiences who rebutted his plans to cut Social Security. And I have to admit, only he would know. Only Peter Peterson knows why he wants to cut Social Security. I suspect he wants to see to see it privately funded so he could, we can get a piece of it.
Certainly I think the people that work for him get a piece of doing all of this sort of stuff.
Peterson, like I said, was Commerce Secretary under President Nixon, and he founded the Blackstone Group, one of the world's largest private equity firms, which owes its great profitability to a once obscure tax break that gives investment managers lower tax breaks, more tax breaks than working people.
That's what happened in the campaign. That's when they talked about, you know, Romney's paying 15% or 14% of his income. That's a little deceptive, but that's what he's paying. And the reason for it is his money is coming in through this one tax loophole. There is no reason for this loophole. I haven't yet to see a logical reason for it.
The other thing he does is there's once again a pretty common tactic in Washington these days. You fund organizations and then you praise the work that those organizations do with your funding. One of those such organizations is the Concord Coalition and the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. So he praises both of these organizations.
They're circular praise things
where
I quote you and you quote me and I say good things about you and you say it happens all over the world and it, you know, and everything from book reviews to politics. But why is the debate about deficit reduction for the Republicans? And I think part of it is things like Peter Peterson's activities. In other words, the debate is being driven not by logic, not by the interest of the people, not by a full dialogue, but by vast amounts of money to create that definition.
$16 trillion in deficit is a lot, is something to be concerned about, and
absolutely,
it's something we need to talk about, and it's something we need to talk about now. But in reality, it's given our GDP, given our economy is cooking at a pretty good rate compared to Spain or Greece or whatever, the $16 trillion is going to be a problem, is what they say. The economists, even people like Peter Peterson, know that it's going to be a problem in X numbers of years if we don't do something now.
I think everybody agrees that you need a long-term deficit solution.
And the Social Security has nothing. Can we say this again and maybe just spend the rest of the show saying this over and over? Social Security has nothing to do with that deficit.
Yeah, in fact, the one reason to talk about fiscal cliff rather than deficit reduction is if they don't cut a deal, unemployment benefits to, I don't know, 2.1 million people will end in January. the extended benefits that the federal government pays rather than the states contribute anything to. So there's more at stake here than might meet the eye. You know, fiscal cliff for somebody on extended unemployment benefits unless they can find a job, and the economy is improving. Now, it's improving slowly, but it is improving, so you've got a better chance now than a couple of years ago. But still, that's another kind of fiscal cliff for actual people rather than the statistic. So the real argument, folks, between Democrats and Republicans is that Democrats believe that a long-term solution to the deficit problem needs to be accelerated when you have prosperity. In other words, we think...
As most economists,
almost all economists think, is that the last time you want to cut spending is when you're in the middle of a recession. We want to get out of the recession as the economy heats up, and then we want to attack the deficit. Republicans want to do a very extreme deficit reduction right in the middle of the recession before we're going to get out. So one of the interesting thing about the fiscal cliff is that the Republicans saying, oh my, if we go over the fiscal cliff, there's going to be, we'll be forced into a second recession. And we'll be forced into a recession basically because, we'll cut spending radically or immediately. And we won't raise any, taxes unless, well, we'll raise taxes, won't we? But we won't raise taxes on just the people who can afford to pay it. In other words, the problem, folks, is for generations, if you seem to be making less money and your money not going to farm, is that the distribution of wealth, and I'm not totally convinced it's all a machinations or a plot or the way the economy is structured, but more and more of the wealth of the country is going to a tinier and tinier percentage of the people. It's, you know, even if you're the most middle of the roader, this is not really sustainable long term.
We want to talk about Medicare also this morning. Social Security and Medicare were our topics. And our friend Dean Baker's been on the show three times. Has a wonderful website. You have some of the clearest economic thinking I have seen. And you hear him as one of the talking heads on CNN a lot. And occasionally Fox News, believe it or not, they will call him. But we're talking about cuts to Medicare also is on the table. And once again, you don't hear this coming from the Democrats.
Okay, what cuts are they talking about? They're talking about mostly what we hear through the media is cutting or increasing the age that you get Medicare benefits.
To 67.
Yes, from going from 65 to 67. And as you folks well know, and it's hard on the government finances, but people don't have medical insurance, and the full impact of affordable health care, which you've been told is all terrible, is not going to happen until 2014. And so people wait for an operation until they get to be 65.
Right.
This increases the actual expenses going into the medical system. So there are two things, and then Michael, I'll talk about Medicare. They want to increase the age at which you're eligible for Medicare. That cuts benefits, right, Mike?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's called the single worst idea by Yale professor Jacob Hacker. Called it the single worst idea for Medicare reform. If by reform we mean slashing, and it's not just a terrible thing to do. Medicare is also to Medicare. It's not a terrible thing, just a terrible thing to do to Medicare. It's also a terrible idea for healthcare costs, job creation, and in fact the entire economy.
See,
Jacob
increasing
said.
The age of Medicare seems sort of benign. But the fact is that people are still going to be sick, and they're still going to be to the hospital.
What's a lower quality of life?
Everything else is less efficient than Medicare, and so the costs are going to go up. Not the cost to the government, the cost to you.
Talk about what the Affordable Care Act actually did to, Obama and the Democrats are blamed for not doing anything to reduce Medicare costs.
We've talked about it before, folks. There's a distinction between cutting benefits, which is what the Republican, the Ryan Romney Republican plan was always about cutting benefits, and the Obama plan is always about containing cost. Now,
big difference.
Cost containing is something that I think everybody should agree on. We want to contain the cost. The president increased the amount of money going into basically the cyber cops who are looking for Medicare frauds. I mean, we all want to do that. The Affordable Health Care Act extended the solvency of Medicare. You won't hear that. We mentioned it before, but it extended it. And here's some new statistic. Affordable Care Act reduced the shortfall by almost two-thirds in Medicare. So as a result of the projection shortfall has fallen almost two-thirds from 3.88% of the taxable payroll in the 2009 Medicare trustees report. Every year the trustees folks issue a report on what's happening with Medicare.
Right.
And it reduced it from 3.88, and I know this doesn't sound like much, but it's a big deal,
to
1.35% of the taxable payroll in 2012.
So they've done their job on cost containment, which is what we're supposed to be doing right now.
They've done at least part of it.
I'm sure we have Republicans who haven't even looked at, because there's been such a knee-jerk reaction against the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare, that they haven't even read it. They certainly don't acknowledge the benefits, the coming benefits, that it contains. And it's too, in other words, as far as some of us are concerned, that conversation's over. Or at least that crisis is dealt with for now. Now, obviously, it's not everything that needs to be done with Medicare, but it is a big step. And containing costs, which is what it's all about.
There needs to be more done in cost containment. And the problem is, we have the most expensive medical system in the entire world. It's two or three times as expensive as our nearest industrial countries spend on them. Well, I'm talking not about government spending. We're talking about the entire spending of private and governmental spending on Medicare. Our system is twice as expensive.
If this was a call-in show, start calling in now. How many of you have gone to Mexico? And this is pretty common on the Cottonwood side of the valley here.
It's common up here in Sedona. Well, I know people who go get all their dental work down in Mexico.
Getting good quality care.
Yeah. And Mexican doctors have always had a good
and
reputation.
And then coming back with a half a dozen prescriptions in the back of their,
Yeah. So there's a difference between cutting benefits and making the program solvent. But in an atmosphere where one party is ideologically extreme, scornful of compromise, and unmoved by conventional understanding of facts, evidence, and science, that's a tough thing to do.
It gets complicated. We had one of our members have input that, boy, if we just cut the cost of gasoline 50 cents, it would be such a shot to the economy that that all of this talk could go away, or at least be faded into the background.
I don't know. We had cheap gas at the height of the recession, and it didn't kick in. I mean, one of the things, if you saw
how about cheap beer and cheap gas?
Cheap beer and cheap gas would be the thing. But so they want to cut Medicare by raising the age. And this is what they're negotiating now. As near as we can figure out from reading between the lines and reading some reports, because everybody, you know, when Obama talks to Boehner, it's all hush hush, at least at this stage. The other thing they want to do is Social Security cut.
Let me finish with Medicare, the lower quality of life. And that's our point here. I'm looking at an article by Richard Esko talking about a higher medical age means a lower quality of life. The Kaiser Foundation study showed that, quote, raising Medicare eligibility to 67 in 2014 would generate an estimated $5.7 billion in net savings to the federal government, but would also result in an estimated net increase in $3.7 billion in out-of-pocket costs for 65 and 66-year-olds, and $4.5 billion in employer-related health care costs. So,
in other words, it shifts the cost from if we're talking about the whole pie, folks, it shifts the cost from the whole spending. So sure. What the figure I saw, Mike, was that increasing the age of Medicare would generate 1.5 $113 billion over the next decade. Mm-hmm. It would have almost no effect on the long-term costs of Medicare, because the problem is so much of that is the way we're spending Medicare money. There has to be actual reforms. And a lot of this was shut down by this discussion of death panels. There is one reason the American system is twice as expensive is we deliver high price medicine instead of just as efficient low price medicine. We do medical procedures that really are not justified. We have an insurance system that is impenetrable in terms of trying to understand what the benefits are and who's paying what.
Well, yeah, to my numbers from the Kaiser Foundation talk about a $5.7 billion savings, but a combination of the other two figures I mentioned would be $8.2 billion in increased costs, both to employers and to those 65 and 66-year-olds.
So suppose we take the $116 billion figure, raising taxes on the top two rates from 33% to 35% and from 36% to 39.6% raises $442 billion over 10 years.
Your figures are over 10 years, and mine are
years. That's, but we're saying basically the same thing.
Yes.
Raising the capital gains tax from 15% to 20% saves $36 billion over 10 years. I think Paul Krugman did in a recent column was just really analyze how much you're saving versus, you know, where you can actually get the money. And what he concluded was that, you know, the Republicans talk about this huge increase, but what they're really talking about is a fairly small in terms of the size of the problem, where the president's proposal is much more completely spelled out, and it is much more balanced in terms of how it does it. It cuts costs, it cuts spending, and it also raises money.
Yeah, the article in Richard Esko's article in Nation of Change, A Higher Medicare Age Means Lower Quality of Life, he says, why is Washington seriously considering such a foolish proposal? There's only one of three outcomes that could happen by raising the age to 65. Profits for companies with American jobs, profits will fall for those companies with American jobs. And people will, and thus lowering corporate jobs. More outsourcing will be a result of that. Unemployment rises as employers cut jobs to offset the added expense. It would be the worst for 66 and 67-year-olds who are spending an average of $2,200 more on their health care. Health insurance benefits cost even less. Health insurance benefits will cover even less, not they'll cost less, they'll cover less in costs as employers offset the cost by demanding higher copays and deductibles and all the other things and reducing services. Those are the three likelihoods of raising the Medicare age.
And what's the argument for doing is that in 2014, affordable health care will arrive and you'll be able to get less expensive or subsidized medical care. And that's true, but it's, affordable health care is great, but it's not like extending Medicare to everybody. It costs more money and it doesn't extend it. And so that's what they're talking about. So when they're saying, well, this won't be so bad because we'll have affordable health care. Well, if they put it into existent right now, it would clobber people. You'd be waiting to be 65 and suddenly you'd have to be 67 before you got Medicare.
And
that means you'd have to pay for your insurance for two more years. And you won't get affordable health care, subsidized stuff, until 2014.
And you and I know more than a few people that are doing this, that are waiting to 65 for even to begin their health care. You've heard of robbing Peter to pay Paul, which is a pretty common Washington activity. But you might call this this robbery, robbing Paul to pay Peterson, in this case, Pete Peterson, that is the billionaire we just mentioned, the anti-government activist who's been working to cut Medicare and Social Security and lower tax rates for millionaires, billionaires, and corporations. He's been doing this for decades. Like I said, he led Lehman Brothers in the 70s and 80s.
Okay. Let's talk just for a second and shift from Medicare to Social Security. What they're talking about in terms of Social Security is to change the way inflation is figured for Social Security. And if you're on Social Security, every year or so when there's inflation, you get some money equal to the inflation, and your Social Security seems to go up, but actually it's just staying steady. They want to change the basis of how this is figured. It sounds really technical, but the impact is it saves over 10 years $185 billion. Now, that sounds good. Hey, we're saving $185 billion by changing the way inflation is calculated. But that's $185 billion that will not be paid out to Social Security.
That's less
reciprocant. That's what it is. So you hear everybody's going, yay, we'll save a bunch of money. But that also means that Social Security recipients will receive less money, right, and it becomes substantial over a long period of time, not so much, you know, in 1 year.
Well, taking that out of the economy is once again silly, stupid, especially now. Taking out that's a stimulus. That's a stimulus that benefits millions and millions of people. And it has no point. You know, the tax reform, healthcare reform, Medicare reform. These are the things we're talking about, and these are the things that need to be lined up and target those issues, those things that would benefit people and the economy, and not corporations or fat cats like Peter Peterson and his organizations.
There's a difference between Medicare reform, which we're in favor of, making Medicare more efficient. How did that become cutting Medicare?
Right, exactly.
How did there be, there's like, remember in there's these like equal marks, you know, and over here is Medicare reform equals Medicare cuts. I mean, how did that whole formula get going?
That's a good question. Ask John Boehner. That's how fiscal cliff became a debt crisis.
Yeah. And remember, we did talk about, and I know we're covering some of the same ground again, and some of the same ground we started a year and a half ago, and trying to understand what's actually happening and seeing through some of the stuff. We do come from a democratic perspective in the sense that we're basically sort of for ordinary folks. Let me do a blurb. We're hurting for money, folks. If you can support the program,
we would deeply appreciate it. We got our own fiscal cliff going on here.
We're reaching our own fiscal cliff. So if you can help us, please do. It's vvid.org. Go on there. There's a little PayPal thing, or you can find information how to contact us. We do need to help. We've kept this thing going for a year and a half, or even longer than a year and a half, right? Almost 2 years in April.
2 years in April.
But we're reaching kind of the end of our tether here. So if there's anybody out there who can help us, that would be a useful thing to do.
We like to think of ourselves as in pretty grandiose, terms. The low rent, Amy Goodman, we are here. This is free speech, Sedona.
Mike has a sheath of four or five papers filled with statistics and graphs that he wants to read you, but I think we're kind of running out of time.
Can you sum up all those pages, Mike,
with those graphs and charts and everything?
This is going around a lot, and if you pay attention to the talk shows, you're hearing some of this. But but returning to the Clinton era, tax rate 39.6%, going back to the top marginal rate for capital gains, which is a big deal in Sedona, at 28%, as it was under Ronald Reagan. These things were not crashing the economy or killing anyone during the time that they were in effect. They won't hurt us again if we put them back in. Yep. They will only help us.
Thank you very much for listening. Next week, Daryl Johnson. Daryl Johnson wrote a report warning about right-wing terrorism in the United States, and they basically fired him. So we'll be talking to Daryl Johnson next week on Democratic Perspective. Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.